Well, two things coming together today. Actually, three. Communion, water baptism, Thanksgiving Day. And so as I was thinking about what to share this morning, the question came to my mind, what is the greatest reason to give thanks? There are sheets that you received when you came in this morning. You're welcome to take that out and fill it in as we go. Take some of these thoughts home with you this morning. The greatest reason to give thanks. Key verse is found in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. We are bound to give thanks to God always for you, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. I always sort of smile as I read these verses, how much is packed into one verse. And there's a lot of truth in this verse. So many different aspects of it. But we are bound to give thanks to God because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. So we're just going to break this verse down a little bit this morning and just see what this verse says. So let's look at the verse fill in. We are bound to give thanks. We're bound to give thanks. It's not just something that's optional. It's not something that would be nice to do. It would be appropriate. It'd be the right thing. No, it says we're bound to do this. This is something that just in the reality of things, that we're bound to give thanks. Jesus said when they were complaining that the people were waving branches and proclaiming him as the coming Messiah, and they said, oh, tell your disciples to be quiet. And he said, well, if these don't praise me, the very rocks would cry out. Well, why would the rocks cry out? Because this is just has to happen. Praise and worship have to come to God. And if we don't do it, the rocks will do it. But I don't want any rock taking my place. I want to be able to use my breath and my body to express the worship and praise that's in our hearts. So we are bound to give thanks. Whether it's Thanksgiving Day or not, whether it's 6 months from now, whether it's not even a Sunday, a Tuesday afternoon at 3 o'clock, you are bound to give praise to God, give thanks to God. Now, here are just some verses that popped out at me, because when we're talking about what is the greatest reason to give thanks, there's so many things to give thanks to God for. We can give him thanks for breath. We can thank him for a home. We can thank him for a car. We can thank him for our family. It's 1,001 things we could thank God for. But what would be the greatest thing to thank God for? Well, just a very quick look at the scripture, things just popped out. And I'm just going to read this. I'm not going to go into them, but you have them listed on your sheet there. Exodus 15:2. He has become my salvation. He is my God and I will praise him. The greatest thing to give thanks to God for is your salvation. Your salvation. Listen to these verses. It's in 1 Samuel 2, and my heart rejoices in the Lord because I rejoice in your salvation. Psalm 9:14, I will rejoice in your salvation. Psalm 18:46, the Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. Psalm 35:9, and my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. Psalm 51:14. God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. That was David speaking. He was a psalmist. He wrote psalms. He played the harp. And we sing songs, even that the words that he penned so long ago. We had different instruments here today, and we were using them to sing and to express to the Lord aloud his righteousness and his salvation for us. Psalm 68:19. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. There's lots of things to praise the Lord for. But all those benefits that we're praising the Lord for come out of his salvation. Because he made a way for us to be accepted in his presence. He removed our sin. He took away the thing that was keeping us from God. And so as a result of our salvation, he just loads us with benefits. He just backs up the truck to our lives. And he just unloads it and unloads it into our situation. Psalm 74, let those who love your salvation say continually, let God be magnified. Well, if you have salvation, let's continually say it. Not just on a Sunday, not just in a service, but constantly let it continue before the Lord. Let God be magnified. Psalm 95:1, oh come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Psalm 96, verse 2. Sing to the Lord. Bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. You're sort of getting an idea what the scripture is telling us here? How important salvation is, how foundational it is to our lives, our salvation. Psalm 118, 15. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. Well, if it was written today, it would be in the houses, the homes of the righteous. Do you have praise and worship coming out of your home? Out of the speakers of your sound system, on your iPod, are you allowing songs of worship and praise to continually come before the Lord in your situation where you're dwelling? Psalm 118, verse 21, I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. Isaiah 12:3, therefore, with joy will you draw water from the wells of salvation. Do it with joy. You know, sometimes when we lose our joy and we're down, it's because you've lost sight of the fact of your salvation. You've taken it for granted. And so you get upset about things, not realizing you have the greatest gift that could ever be given to anyone. Your salvation. If you have nothing else to praise the Lord for, praise him for your salvation. Isaiah 25:9. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. In Habakkuk 3:18. And I didn't write all the verses down, but this verse is prefaced by, if the fig tree does not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vine, and if the olive tree doesn't bring forth its fruit, and there be no herds in the stall. I mean, that's a pretty bad situation if you're a farmer. Nut crops are all failing. Cattle have all gone. You're destitute. And then this verse, this is the next verse. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. If everything else goes wrong, if there's nothing else to give thanks for, you think everything is depleted, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Your being saved is the most important thing in your life. And Satan loves to remove that from our thinking because he wants you to think you don't need any saving. There's no such thing as sin. So you don't need any salvation. He seeks to undermine the fact that it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And that sin has separated us from God. And that there is no alternative because of the righteousness of God, that we will be judged for our sin. And we will be eternally separated from God. When you know that reality, and then you see that God has provided an escape from that, then you get excited about your salvation. And I will joy in the God of my salvation. Here's the last chapter of the Bible. Not last chapter, last book of the Bible. Revelation 19:1. Talking about the scene in heaven. After these things, I heard a loud voice and a great multitude in heaven. You know who that great multitude is? You and me and everyone else that's in heaven. I heard a great multitude in heaven saying, "Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God." When we get to heaven and we're rejoicing in our relationship with God, there's going to be a perpetual thanksgiving in our hearts that this salvation didn't come from us, but it came from Him. And we're just saying, "Glory and honor and power be to the Lord of our salvation." So that's what we're bound to do. We're bound to give thanks to God for our salvation. Here's the next villain. And it comes out of this verse. We are bound to give thanks to God always for you because God from the beginning chose you for salvation. So here's your fill-in. God chose us. God chose us. He chose us by taking the initiative. God took the initiative. Romans 5 in verse 6. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. God took the initiative. He came to us when we were helpless, when we couldn't satisfy His demands. We couldn't get out of the penalty of judgment that hung over our heads. We couldn't get out of it. We couldn't get away from it. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. I am bound to thank God when I couldn't do anything, I couldn't save myself, I couldn't switch the situation around, that He took the initiative. Thank God when He hung on the cross and they were mocking Him and jeering Him and He was suffering at the hands and pain and torture He had been put through. And now at the very end they're mocking Him. He said He could save others. But He can't save Himself. They didn't realize how true those words were. He was there to save others. And if He was going to save others, He couldn't save Himself. Because He was giving His life a ransom for us. And I thank the Lord He didn't succumb to anything within Him that said, "Hey, they're not grateful. They're not appreciative. They don't want this. What am I doing this for? They're jeering me at the very moment that I'm dying for them and saving them, and they're jeering me." I thank the Lord. I thank the Lord. He stayed on the cross. He bore my sins. He died in my place. That's why these scriptures over and over say, I give thanks to God for my salvation. So he chose us. He took the initiative. Here's the next fill-in. We are chosen in Christ. We are chosen in Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us, notice the phrase, in Christ, to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself. How? Through Jesus Christ. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. He chose us, but he chose everyone. He chose us in Christ. He made a provision for salvation in Christ. Salvation isn't just because of you. You can't be good enough. You can't please God. You can't behave in a certain way that God would accept you. If it was just myself and God, I'm going to be judged. I'm going to be condemned. If it's just you and God, you're going to be condemned. But he provided a salvation in Christ. Jesus came sinless. He lived a life, showed us how to live, showed us how to conduct ourselves on this earth. He didn't have to die, but he willingly laid down his life for us. He died in our place. Jesus is the only person that's good enough to go to heaven. He's the only one that qualifies to go to heaven. But here's the beautiful thing. He has made a way so that we can come into Christ and be accepted before God in Christ. Not in our own righteousness, not in our own goodness or our own self-efforts. We enter heaven because our life, as it says in Colossians 3, is hid with Christ in God. Our life is in Christ. And so he's chosen us in Christ. The way is made for the whole world, whoever they may be in this earth, that they can be saved in Christ. He didn't just say, well, you I'll save, you I won't. I choose you, but I don't choose you. I choose you, I don't choose you. He chose us, and some people think that. Well, he chose us. He chose some, and he didn't choose others. But this says he chose us in Christ. He's made the provision that anyone in Christ can come into his presence. So this salvation is for everyone. It says in Romans, he died once for all. That provision is there for us all. But let's go on to the next thing it says in these verses. Because God from the beginning chose you for salvation. Now listen. Through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. We're sanctified. In other words, we're made righteous or made holy. We're separated. Sanctified means to be separated to God. How are we separated to God? Said by two things. And here's your fill-in. We are sanctified by belief in the truth. Belief in the truth. Jesus said, not me, not anyone else, not some church theologian, Jesus himself said in John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Well, that's pretty exclusive. It doesn't leave any other door open. It said, I am the way. There's a pathway. There's a way to come to God. It's got to go through Jesus. He said in another place, I am the door. If you're going to enter into God's presence, you have to come through the door. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the reality. I'm the truth. I'm telling you the way it is. and the life. If you want to receive eternal life, if you want abundant life here on earth, he's the life. And no one's going to come to the Father except through me. Because here's the truth. He's the only Savior. We've been saying we need salvation, but that salvation is only in one person. He's the only Savior. There is salvation in no other. There's no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus. It's not that we're just trying to be bigoted. Oh, you're so intolerant. What about other religions? I have nothing against other religions, and they say a lot of good things. They all basically say, don't kill, don't steal, don't commit adultery, don't sin. But that doesn't save us from it. It just says what we all know. There's only one Savior. There's only one provision where we can get out of the judgment of death that hangs over our head. That's Jesus. He came to save his people from their sin. It's what the angel told Mary. Call his name Jesus. Yahweh has become my Savior. Call his name Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. We need saving. We need salvation. We need a Savior. That only Savior there is Jesus. That's the truth. You have to believe the truth. It says here that we are sanctified by belief in the truth. And Jesus said, I'm the truth. You have to come to God through Jesus. There's no other way. That's the truth. You may not believe the truth, but it doesn't make the truth a lie. You can ignore the truth, but it doesn't take away its validity. The truth is in Jesus. That is the truth about life. That's the truth about your situation. It's true about all of us. Jesus came to tell us. He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth of life. No one's going to come to God except through me. You have to believe it. Trust in it. You believe in your heart. You don't have to have all the answers in your head. You come to God heart first. First of all, you recognize, I need a Savior. You'll never be saved unless you see you need a Savior. Once you humble yourself and you see the reality of things, you say, I need a Savior. And that is where you come to the truth and you say, I'm going to put my trust in the Lord. I'm going to put my reliance upon what he did. I'm going to believe in him. Here's how these words, the next verses, I've already talked about it. But now the people believed Philip's message of good news. Good news just means gospel. That's where we get the word gospel from. Good news. The good news is that you could be saved. So how do we get saved? That's the gospel. That's the good news. So Philip goes to Samaria, and the people believe Philip's message of good news concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. As a result, many men and women were baptized. And that's where our baptism comes in here. The way you show your acceptance of the gospel is by being water baptized. You don't have to be good enough to be baptized. You just are showing to God, to the devil, to the world, to principalities and powers, to friends, to everyone, publicly, I realize I am under the judgment of death. The penalty of death, my sins must be judged. That judgment is death. But I take Christ's death as my death. When he died, that's when I died. So now I'm going to bury my old life that is under the judgment of death. I've already died because I died in Christ. And we bury you and put you in water. It shows that once and forever, the judgment of your sin has been carried out. The judgment for your sin is death. Water baptism says, I have died with Christ, so I'm burying it once and for all. Never have to worry about it again. I'm buried with Christ. But I'm glad we didn't leave him there. We brought him up out of the water. Now it says we're going to live a new life in the Lord. Now let's read the next verse here, Galatians 2:16. Yet we know that a person is made right with God, listen, by faith, that's trust, by faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law, not by trying to be good enough and do all what's right, not by obeying the law. And we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we might be made right with God because our faith in Christ, not because we've obeyed the law. For no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law. And we've already said this, but let me just underline it one final time. If you're comparing yourself with someone else, and you're saying, you know what, I'm better than them. I see those Christians going to church. But you know, I don't need to go to church because I think I live a better life than they do. I see that they're hypocrites. I see that they say one thing and they do something else. So, I'll take my chances. You're not going to be made right by anything you've done that's good. Because we've all sinned, we've all come short, there's none righteous. God's standard is perfection. And no one on this earth reaches perfection. Everyone short of perfection will come under the judgment of sin. We all need a Savior. And someone actually may live a better life than someone that's a Christian. But that's not how they're saved. You're saved because of your belief in the truth that you've taken. I love the bumper sticker that says, Christians are not perfect, they're just forgiven. And that's the truth. We're not perfect. We're forgiven, though. We have a Savior that's forgiven us. Here's your last fill-in. We are sanctified first by belief in the truth, but this verse says also, by the Spirit. Receiving his Spirit. We're sanctified by receiving his Spirit. So here's the whole point. Let's read these verses. Ephesians 1:13. In him you also trusted. We've been talking about that. We trust in Christ. After you heard the word of truth. We talked about that. The gospel. The good news of your salvation. Whom also, having believed, now notice this last phrase, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now let's read the next verse. Acts 2:38. When the church first began, and he told them that they were under the judgment of sin, but that Jesus died and he was their Savior. It says in verse 37, they were convicted. They said, what must we do? And then this verse, then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now here is the powerful dimension of being saved. Not only is it just factual. He died and took my place. I trust in him. I've turned back to God. That's what repentance means. I turn back to God. I've shown my acceptance of that by water baptism. But now here there's a power dynamic. He will put his Holy Spirit in your spirit. You receive his Holy Spirit. This is the sealing. This is the sanctification. Now his Holy Spirit in you, you begin to sense it and feel it. He guides you. He directs you. It produces fruit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. All this fruit. Why is it happening? Because you're good. No, because now I'm walking in the Spirit. God's Spirit is in me. He's changing my mind. He's changing the way I think. He's changing my feelings. I have a different perspective on things. I am walking with the Lord. The Lord is with me. He's guiding me. He's directing me. There's a reality of Christ in you. Christ is in you. And he begins to change you from the inside out. That is the promise of those who repent and are baptized. He said, you're going to receive my Spirit. It sanctifies us. Now we know, he knows, then we know we're his because he sealed us with his Spirit. He's put his Spirit within us. What a marvelous thing to sense God's presence. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. It's not your efforts. Now he's changing you, transforming your life. Because something's working in the innermost part of your being. His Holy Spirit is working out through you. So this verse, we've unpacked it a little bit. Isn't a lot packed in here? He says, 2 Thessalonians 2:13, we are bound to give thanks to God always for you. Because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. Let's stand together this morning. My prayer is that everyone that's here in this building this morning will receive this great salvation. That you will turn to God and ask him to forgive you of your sins. That in time you will be baptized. It's not the act of baptism, but that's symbolizing that you've given your life to the Lord. That you are in Christ. Know you're not as many as were baptized, have been buried into his death. You're saying, his death is my death. And I want everyone here to receive the Holy Spirit, this life-giving power, the very presence of God to be in your innermost being. What do you have to do to receive this? Just believe the truth, trust in the truth, trust in your heart, to say, Lord, I receive that, and I want all that you want me to have. I wonder if everyone in this place, whether you've prayed this before or whether you're praying it for the first time, if you want to pray this prayer with me, I want everyone just to raise your hand. All across, I'm praying that every hand will go up. I'm praying that every person will soften their heart. Every person in this place would receive this so great a salvation. Lord, you see us as we stand in this place. Some of us are just affirming our salvation, that we have trusted in you already. And we're just appreciating it. And we raise our hands as a raising of our hand of thankfulness to you for our salvation. Others, Lord, might be this is their moment. Their moment to receive you. Their moment right now to surrender. And they're lifting their hand as surrender to you. And I ask, Lord, right now that you would hear our prayer. Would everyone pray right out after me? Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you are my Savior. You died on the cross for my sins. I now humble myself and I ask you to save me. Forgive me of all my sins. Place your Holy Spirit within me. Change me and make me a new person. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's thank the Lord. Now, right at the end of this service, for those that have been water baptized, we're going to focus on their receiving the Holy Spirit. In the Bible, the Holy Spirit was given many times by the laying on of hands. Now, it doesn't mean that someone has to have the laying on of hands. But in the scripture, many times, over and over again, the elders of the church laid hands on people. And in that prayer, in that impartation of what we have, we give to you, the Holy Spirit filled their lives. And that's what we're going to do for Dana and for Cynthia and for Brett this morning. And so I'm going to ask them to come forward if they will. And I'm going to ask the elders and those that are with us this morning, just come and face me, if you will. Amen. Just move over a little bit so we're centered here. Okay. So in turn, we're going to lay our hands on these individuals this morning. And so let's first lay our hands on Dana. Dana, if you want, just put your hands out to receive right now in this moment. Lord, right now, we lay our hands upon Dana. In obedience to your word, Lord, she has believed the truth. She has repented. She has turned to you. She has been water baptized. And Lord, she has felt your presence many times. But right now, in this moment, I ask that you would fill her with your Holy Spirit as you promised. And Lord, may you just enter every part of our being, her mind, her will, her emotions. And Lord, I ask that she would just sense your presence in new ways. Lord, for the fruit of the Spirit to begin to be more and more evidenced in her life. I pray, Lord Jesus, that the gifts of the Spirit, whatever gifts you have for her, Lord, you would just impart them to her right now in this moment. Amen. Juan, would you just also pray?
Yes, Lord, we pray for Dana. We lift up her life before you, Lord. We pray that your Holy Spirit would bless her with all the spiritual riches that you have for her. Lord, that you would bless her with strength, wisdom, the power of your Holy Spirit to overcome. Lord, the grace to influence others according to your will. Lord, give her victory over obstacles and over sins and over temptations. Lord, fill her with your grace in every area of her life. Lord, we just bless her, and we pray that you would fill her with your Holy Spirit in every way and go before her and just give her the victory in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. And as we're praying for you, I just sense there's been, throughout your life, a desire to be filled, that there's something more, that you've felt an emptiness. But the Lord is saying, I will fulfill every desire, every longing of your heart. God says, I will fill you to overflowing. Relax in me, rest in me. For I am all that you need. You need nothing but me. It's the Lord's word to you, Dana, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's pray for Cynthia. Pastor Larry, you want to start just by... Amen.
Right now, Holy Spirit, we just ask you in your name, Lord, just to fill Cynthia from the top of her head to the soles of her feet with your Spirit, Lord. Give her an infilling dose, Lord, of your Holy Spirit like she's never felt before, Lord. We just pray that you lead and direct her in all her ways, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for the leadership that you've brought into her heart, and Lord, the ministry that you've laid in her, Lord, for her family, and to be the one that spearheads the gospel and that would advance in her family, Lord. I thank you that she has a strong anointing and gift on her life, Lord. I thank you for the musical ability, Lord, that you have bestowed upon her, Lord. We speak a blessing right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Let her be led by your Spirit in everything she does, Lord, in her schoolwork, in her decisions for college or university, Lord, in her decisions in who she marries, Lord. Yes. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will be her guide in all things, Lord. We declare these things on her life in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. David, you'd pray.
Father, we speak a blessing over Cynthia's life. We pray your protection in school and whatever she goes, God, we pray that you go before her, your Holy Spirit. Give her strength to overcome, God. And I pray, God, that you would do all the things in her life. You fulfill all the purposes in her life, God. Pray that she will be a strong and mighty woman of God. That will be a spokesman for your gospel. That she would be a witness of the great things that you've done in her life, God. To her friends, to her family. And I pray that you would meet all of her needs in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Cynthia, as I'm praying for you, I sense that you have an adventurous spirit. And the Lord says he loves that adventurous spirit. Because he's going to take you places that no one else will go. You're going to do things that other people can't do. Not because you're so special, but because he's going to empower you. You're going to accomplish things that people at the beginning say, well, she couldn't do that. But because of the anointing and the power of the Lord upon your life, you're going to rise to great heights. And just keep yourself humble before the Lord. Keep relying upon him. You're going to do, man, I see you coming out of yourself and just being more dynamic and confident because of the power of God that's within you. Lord, and so I just pray, let it be, Lord. Accomplish this in Cynthia. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And let's pray for Brett. Just receive this morning, Brett. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I ask, Lord, that you would just fill Brett with your Holy Spirit. Fill him completely and totally. Lord, flow into this vessel. The promise of the Holy Spirit, sanctifying him, setting him apart because he has believed the truth. And your Holy Spirit now is entering him to do a mighty work within him. In the name of Jesus, I pray. In the name of Jesus, accomplish your word, the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. Whatever in this moment of impartation as we lay our hands upon him. Brad, I'm sensing that the Lord is preparing you for your future in this simple moment. There's impartation of new gifts, new understanding, new abilities flowing into your life. There's been a sense of what can I accomplish? What can I do? But the Lord is saying that is in his hands. He has a future for you. He has a will for your life. It's laid out, and if you will walk, you will come to the fulfillment of many, many things. I sense that you are a defender, you are a protector, that God's going to make you strong when adversity comes and where people are shaken and don't know what to do. You're going to stand like a bulwark because of your faith in God and your reliance upon him. People are going to find safety in your presence. And so I pray, Lord, that you would give words, you would give all that Brett needs right now to fulfill this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. If any of the rest of you just feel to pray for Brett as well. Amen.
Thank you, Father, for what you're doing in this young man's life. Thank you for bringing him back to Kitchener from Toronto. And I pray to God that you would connect him with the right people here, that he would meet great friends, that you would surround him with a great influence, God, and that he'd be open to just be used by you, Father, for your glory. We pray, God, that you would also meet all of his needs, whatever needs he may have in his life, God. You are his provider. You're the one who looks after him. He's your child. And we just pray that, the plan that you have for him, God, which we know is good, will come to pass in his life. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Well, we thank the Lord for what he's doing. Now, I'm going to ask you folks just to take a step forward and turn around and face the crowd. As we are dismissed this morning, I'm going to invite those that would like to come down. Come down this side, come across, just congratulate these people. And we're going to just dismiss our service in this time of celebration and showing our appreciation to these folks who've taken this step. Go in the name of the Lord. Wednesday night, Sunday, we'll be back here. Come and be with us. You're still